Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Everybody's tough. Come on out on this. I had a lot of people calling and won't know if they still have it. That's why you call it a winter Bible study. It ain't supposed to be sunshine, it is. We appreciate you coming tonight for the Victory Baptist Winter Bible Study. We'll be looking at the summer threshing floor. Ain't that kind of an odd subject on a winter Bible study? But that's in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 35. We'll be looking at that for the next few weeks.
And it's a study in prophecy. And today, we're living in a day where we seemingly are seeing a lot of the pieces fitting together. And if you're a studier of prophecy and read God's Word, you know that a lot of things is fitting together. And in studying this, we want to be sure that we lay some good groundwork. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to build forms and pour concrete tonight. And then we'll be standing real good and solid for the next 12 weeks. So, but we'll be getting in the book of Daniel a little bit, but we've been praying about this for some time, had a lot of requests through last summer when we taught in the book of Revelation some. People was interested in studying a little bit further in prophecy. And Daniel, it's been a few years since I've taught in the book of Daniel, and it's one of my favorite books because Daniel was a great, great prophet that lived under very harsh circumstances, but yet he kept his faith. He kept the promises of God on his heart. So before we go any further tonight, I ask Brother Walt to ask God's blessing and that we would all step aside and let the Spirit of God come in and teach us His Word. Brother Walt.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for these gathered out this evening, Lord. We ask You to bless the service, bless Brother Max, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to glean the words from You. Max is teaching, dear Heavenly Father, to make us better in our walk of life. Ask You to bless the service. Bless the ones that are sick here among our church and in our community here, Lord. Many are sick. We ask You to bless them. Encourage each one of us, dear Heavenly Father. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Steve's going to put up our website on up here. And we'll be recording all these sessions. If something happens that you want to, or if you're out or just want to go back and review them, they'll all be available. It takes about 2 to 3 days to get them on there, but if you go to our website, you'll be able to go to the link, and you'll be able to see all of our studies for the 13 weeks that we're planning on going through this. If we get snowed out, we'll just talk a little faster the weeks that we make up for it. I have no problem getting a little faster if we need to, so we will cover all of our material for the next few weeks. And tonight we want us to think about something that the world don't think about. And that's the book that is in your hands tonight. That is the most important, the most precious, and the greatest book this world has ever been graced to witness. The book that you have in your hands, it's the Word of God. It's not the religious literatures that the world just throws over in the corner with the philosophies of this world and says there's nothing to it. We know that in the words of that book is eternal life. It's a very important book. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 men. And the first man, Moses, was dead 1,400 years before the last man, John, was even born. Yet the whole book speaks with the perfect harmony of but one author. And that author is the Holy Spirit of God. Let's turn in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture. And when Paul writes the book of Hebrews, and most of his epistles is written to the Gentiles, but this one he writes unto his own people. And he speaks about what the Lord has done through the Old Testament. And he says, God who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, notice verse 2, hath in these last days. Now Paul is standing at this point at about 50 to 55 A.D., and he's talking about from the time that the Lord came unto the ministry that He has to the Gentiles. He says, spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Now notice this, by whom also He made the worlds. It's important for us to realize that God's plan extends a lot further than a lot of people thinks that it does. Go with us in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28. And here the Lord has just spoken to the apostles about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. But it's the things that they don't want to hear. It's the things that they seemingly don't understand. But the Lord breaks it to them, and He talks. We lost her there. That's all right. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. And this is the scripture where the Lord reveals to his disciples here that there's going to be some of them that is not going to see death. Now notice that closely where he says in verse 28, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now what he's saying here, that amongst the disciples, and he has spoken to a great multitude, but now there's his 12 disciples there. He said there's going to be some of them going to be standing here that before you die, you're going to see the kingdom. Now, the prophecy kicks in here, and notice what he says in chapter 17 in verse 1. He says, "And after 6 days." Now, that's a key because the prophecy is full of throughout the scriptures. A lot of times we think prophecy is just in the Old Testament or the book of Revelation. But what we're seeing here is the whole Bible is prophecy. He says, after 6 days. Now, we won't turn, but make a note. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, But beloved, know this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now, he says, after 6 days. Now, in the created world, as we see from the genealogy from Adam forward, there's been roughly 4,000 years from the time that Adam was created until the Lord's ministry and what he's saying after 6 days. Now, we're in the end of that 6 day, the sixth millennial, as we stand here today. Now, what we want to see in that, what happens after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, these are the sons of Zebedee, he takes them up on this high mountain and bringeth them up to the high mountain apart. Now, look at what happens in verse 2. "And was transfigured before them." What the Lord does here is he lets them see 2 millennials in the future. He lets them see all the way to the kingdom when the Lord is going to return and establish his kingdom upon this earth. And look what he says, "And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." The same description that John gives to him in Revelation chapter 1 on the Isle of Patmos some few years later. Look at verse 3. He said, "And behold, there appeared in them Moses and Elijah talking with him." That's prophetic in the fact that the book of Malachi chapter 4 reveals these same 2 men that appear in the last days. Also, Revelation chapter 11, make a note of that. The 2 witnesses that appear and are killed at the end of toward the end of the Great Tribulation is these same 2 men right here. They're talking with him. Notice in verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. He says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, what we heard in Hebrews a while ago, he said he has spoken to us in these last days, talking about through his Son. And the Lord says here, the Father speaks about his Son to Peter, James, and John, "Hear ye him." Now look with us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Now Peter here, this is some years later, about 20 years later, and Peter here is referring to this same thing that happened in Matthew chapter 17. And if you want to get the full picture of it, Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, and then Matthew chapter 17, I'll give you that picture. So Mark 9, Luke 9, in Matthew 17. But here Peter refers to that and says, "And this voice which came from heaven," we heard what we just read there in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. "We heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now notice that in verse 19. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now what he's talking about is the reinforcement of all that's said in the scriptures, because not only did the Lord show them that kingdom that day, the coming of his kingdom on that mount when he was transfigured before them, but what he's saying, Peter's saying here, that all the prophets of old spoke of this very same thing, and it made it more sure. It's like when you nail something down. The more nails it's put in it, the more sure it is, the more unmovable it is. And that's what Peter's saying here. He says, "For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth into dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart," or in your hearts. So he's referring to the prophecies as a light. Now, the light is given in the scripture, as we'll be studying for the next few weeks, by the prophets. The prophets consistently shine light upon the first and the second coming of the Lord. The book of Isaiah reflects the first coming and the second coming of the Lord. Many of the old prophets, only the second coming of the Lord. But what I want you to see here is this light that shineth in a dark place. Now, the prophets have already done their job. The prophets have already gone. And the Lord has them in heaven today. They're enjoying their eternal life. So whose job is it to shine that light? Look with us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. He says, but the path of the just, and the just is someone that's been justified. And that would be everybody here that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That means that our lives should get brighter and brighter till we get, as we get closer and closer to that perfect day. That's when the Lord pulls everything together and all things is fulfilled. The scriptures are fulfilled. But we as the children of God need to be sure that we are shining our light in these last days. And the light comes in this book right here. Look with us back in 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at a couple verses more here, because this same subject and what I said a while ago, that he was talking about the prophets. Now, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what that means in Scripture, and the Scripture expresses this in itself, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, but notice what he says here, that is of no private interpretation. That means that Haggai, that means that Zechariah and Zephaniah and Obadiah, none of those men's writings by themselves, independently, privately, would be anything. They all have to work together. And that is our job as we study the Scripture, to see how the prophets, although many of them didn't understand the things that they was writing and what God had moved upon them to say, but it's still, we want to understand, as Peter says right here, knowing this first, that's the first thing in studying prophecy, is that you cannot take a prophecy and make it stand by itself. You have to be sure that it's in agreement with the other prophecies upon the same thing that he talks about. And look at the last verse. He says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but he said, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, they was moved by the Holy Ghost. They spake, but somebody had to write it, didn't they? Somebody had to be sure that it got written down. And then somebody had to be sure that it was carried on. Look with us in the book of Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Now here, David, the author of this particular psalm right here, David says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then look in verse 7. He says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation for how long? Forever. We can rest assured that the book you have in your hands tonight is what God intended for us to have. And David says that he would keep them and preserve them. So the men of God moved, they spake as they was moved with the Holy Ghost. God seen that it was written down, and God seen that it was preserved, and God seen to it that we could all have a copy of God's Word. It's not always been that way, but it's been purified seven times. And I'm suspicion to think that that seventh time, that seventh purification, is the very book that we have in our hands for these last days that we live. Look with us in Psalms chapter 138 and verse 2. Now, the whole world is religious. We talk about this on Sunday morning a lot. I've never lived in a day, and I've been around here 67 years, where the whole world is absolutely religious crazy. Now, very few people are redeemed. Very few people know the Lord. But the whole world has become very religious crazy. And David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, look real close at this, thy word above all thy name. The world uses God's name loosely. The whole world, they use God's name a lot. But you've got to know the one in whom you're talking. And David knew the one. And he says, thy word has been magnified above all thy name. Folks, what we have in our hands tonight is the most important thing this world could ever see. It's just hard to get them to see it. And that's why we've got to have the lights on. That's why we've got to be sure that what we're doing is seen in such a way that it draws interest of the hearts. And before I was saved, when the Lord was dealing with my heart about my soul, I knew, and it went on about a year, I knew that my soul was the most important thing to me because I knew I was headed to hell. And once I trusted the Lord and He gave me peace about myself, then the souls of others became the most important thing. Because the Lord doesn't give me eternal life. It was time to move on and show other people the way to the cross. So when we study these things, when we look at these things now, we want to be sure that we see what the Lord wants us to see. Look in Psalms 119 and verse 160. Now in Psalms 119, it's kind of an unusual one. It's got 176 verses, and there's 8 verses for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet starts with the letter Aleph and ends with the letter Tov. And when you look at these and looking in your Bible tonight, these divisions are there. And in Psalms 160, we look at Psalms 119, look at verse 160. He says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Now, this particular section of Psalms 119 is given to the letter Resh. And it looks kind of like this right here. And that's a real unusual character letter because it carries a lot of weight in the Hebrew language. And by itself, it stands for the word Rabbi. And in John chapter 3, in verse 2, Nicodemus came to the Lord by night, and he said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art a teacher sent from God." He knew that there was something different about what this man said, because his word was true. Nicodemus was one of the very few Pharisees that seen the light, folks. And he knew there was something different. And when a Hebrew man would die that was a rabbi, on the sepulcher, his name would be there, and at the end of his name, it would have Resh, that letter, saying that he was a teacher, he was a rabbi. Thy word is truth from the beginning. Folks, before we can ever teach anybody anything, we've got to believe that the word that we have in our hands is true from the beginning. A lot of people today have been told that their Bible has errors. They've been told that their Bible needs to be corrected. There's people with higher education would make you think you need to talk to them if you want to find out what the Bible said. The Lord made it to where you can go to Walmart and spend $2 and get a paperback version of this, and if you've got at least a fourth grade education, you'll know more than the doctors know. Because you have to know that thy word is truth from the beginning. They don't believe that. But if you believe that, you're miles ahead of the crowd. Now, the next thing we want to look at in Psalm 119, verse 169. And this is the letter Tov. You can say that sometimes they spell it with the T-A-V, T-A-U, and T-A-W. It's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it stands for truth. "Let my cry come before thee, O Lord." Now, I want us to look really close at this right here in what's been said. "Give me understanding according to thy word." Now, the letter Tov is the same as Resh, but you add just a little bit to it here. And they work together because one is the stand for the truth and the other is the teacher that teaches the truth. And that's who we need to be. We need to reflect that right there. We need to understand that if we're going to tell anybody anything about the book, we better be sure that we have understanding of the book. Turn with us in the book of Luke chapter 24. Let's look at verse 44 and 45. "And the Lord has already been on the road of Emmaus." He's done walked down the road. This is the day of the resurrection. And he's done talked to these people. He went to the house. He ate. He went on down the road. And it even appears that it may have been the next day. It's hard to say. It's very close to that same day. And when you read all that's going on right here, it could have been the next day. But 10 of the disciples is here. Thomas is not here. Judas has none been hung. So the Lord speaks to these men, and he's done eat royal fish and honeycomb at this time, which tells you that you can enjoy food in a glorified body, which is really good news, right? A lot of people think when you get to heaven, all of it's over with. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. The Lord's got so much in store. He said unto them, and he's referring to the 10 disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." Now, prophetically in the Bible, there's at least 800 prophecies, many more than that, but at least 800 that you can nail down real good, about the Lord in his first and his second advent. And 300 of them was fulfilled at the first coming, and 16 of them, the very last week before he went to Calvary's cross. He says, "I spake unto you while I was yet with you that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses," look at that, "and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." That's the Hebrew division of the Bible. When you talk about the prophets, you talk about Moses and the Psalms, you're in reference to the whole book. And he said, "These things, they are concerning me." Every bit of it is about him. And sometimes it's real easy to see, but sometimes it's a little hard to see. But that book is about God's Son from the very beginning to the very end. Our job is to get the light on bright enough to where we can see him through the prophecies that we'll be studying in the next few weeks. Now, go with us to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And we want to look at a couple of very, very familiar scriptures, but I want you to look at it a little bit harder tonight. Because, again, what you have in your hands tonight, we know is the Word of God, but he says something about it. And I want you to see a transformation here. A while ago in Matthew chapter 17, we seen the Lord transfigured from the lonely Galilean. He was transformed up on the mount unto his glorified presence in the kingdom. He went from one thing to another and then right back. Now notice what he says here about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now look really close, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Yes, we have both. And of the joints and marrows, the very physical body is affected by the Holy Spirit. He's a real good doctor, folks, if you didn't know that. Very good doctor. That's why we call on him. And he says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows you better than you know you. And if you want to really start your day off good, the Proverbs is the most convicting book in the Bible. You can read Proverbs and just get plumb uncomfortable with yourself because it tells us who we really are. And he says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit will sneak up on you and tap you on the shoulder and remind you of something you just was about to do. You just had an intent to do it. It's just a thought. And he reminds you that that just ain't right, don't he? The book of Proverbs is great. Now look at verse 13. Now here's the transformation. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in who? In what does it say? In his sight. Now, he is talking about this, ain't he? He is talking about the Word of God. He said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then he says that nothing's not manifested in any sight, that there's nothing that God's Word don't see. But he says his sight. That book just become alive. That book just went from some words to the Lord himself. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. That book is not just a book. It is the Word of God. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is our connection to Him. Anything we know about the Lord, we learn from this book right here. And anything we're going to know about Him will come from this book right here. Now, now let's close this part of it. Now, what we've been doing, I don't know if you remember this, but I was raised in Midtown, and before we had Midtown Utility District, which is MUD, M-U-D, before we had that, we all had whales. And our whale was terrible about losing its prime. My poor daddy, he'd get out there and he'd work on that thing, and the pole pump, it's been called everything. But I'd help him prime that thing, and we'd get her to going again. And what we've been doing for the last few minutes, folks, we've been priming our prophetic pumps. I'm wanting you to think and get things to moving here, because what we have in our hands tonight is the only link that we have to knowing what's going to happen tomorrow and from the future.